This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Halliburton. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Halliburton for the lead. 1.3 to go. Pacers by one. Porter to inbound it. No. Giannis is going to take it now. Here's Gary Trent Jr. Let's it fly. And the Pacers are moving on. What a comeback in overtime.
Yeah, that game last night, insane. The Pacers overcame a 7-point deficit in the final 35 seconds to shock Milwaukee in overtime, 119-118. That was about the only shot that Gary Trent missed over the final 20 or so minutes. The heave from three-quarters court. Joining me right now to talk some NBA playoffs, which is what I'm looking forward to doing, is Chris Miles. Chris, of course, a host at NBA TV. He was here for a while at NBC Sports Washington. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Chris Miles TV. I'm so into this right now, and I have been from the jump, and you know this town. It's been all draft, and then this week it's been all stadium talk, etc. But these playoffs have been unbelievable, especially the last couple of days. I actually want to start with last night in Indiana. Look, I thought Milwaukee put up an incredible effort. I thought they were going to go out meekly last night in five. But I want to ask you about why you thought they blew the lead at the end, the follow-up with Giannis and Halliburton's father, and then where Giannis goes. Let's start with just the end of the game and the meltdown by the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things happening, and that's exactly why we had a 30-minute show discussing all of those things, right? Yeah. Like, as soon as the buzzer ended, there was so much to talk about, including Giannis's post-game press conference where he really opened up. So let's get to your first question, right? The Milwaukee Bucks, I believe the Pacers scored 8 points in the last 33 seconds is correct. The stat, right? And it's two turnovers, both by Gary Trent Jr., who had 12 points in overtime. Like you said, he had made 7 threes after halftime, after going 0-for-7 from three-point range in the first half. Yeah. Okay, so that's like, that was the big story. Gary Trent Jr., will he be able to do this? Can the Bucks come back from being down 3-1 with Giannis, you know, having a 30-20-10 game, which is only the fourth player in NBA history to do that in the playoffs, right? Like, that's what was happening. And as soon as they turned the ball over, you're like, this is a new storyline. The reason they lost is they didn't have ball handlers. I mean, A.J. Green is throwing a pass to Gary Trent Jr., who's a spot-up shooter. So it's one spot-up shooter throwing it to another spot-up shooter, which are the type of players you want to put around Giannis. But when you don't have Damian Lillard on the floor or Chris Middleton that they traded away to the Wizards, right? Or, you know, if you want to go even back further, Drew Holiday, like, go, that's where those players excelled and helped the Bucks to win and, you know, win a championship. They don't have that anymore. And you saw the collapse. I mean, A.J. Green threw it to the only place where Gary Trent Jr. couldn't catch it, in between his legs at the floor, right? Like, I mean, if you play basketball, you know, there's like one place where you can't save the ball if it's thrown in your direction.
Your legs.
Where you're like, what is he? Like, you could have anywhere else and the game's over. So kudos to Tyrese Halliburton, though, not settling for a three. We see that so much in the NBA where guys, you know, get in a situation like, oh, I'm just going to shoot this three. Halliburton, who actually struggled to score in the fourth quarter at OT, made the most timely buckets, and like that's kind of him, where you're like, oh, maybe he's not as good as these other stars in the league, and then the game comes down to the final 30 seconds or the final possessions, and he looks like one of the best players we've ever seen, and that's like what happened with Tyrese Halliburton. So it's
first
just
of
amazing,
all, did
isn't
you,
it?
I thought it was interesting because, you know, he got a screen and a switch, and it was almost like he wanted Giannis to guard him, and he went right around him. Like, that seemed to me to be not the matchup that he would have wanted in that situation to drive the ball or even to take a jump shot.
Well, here's the thing you learn about, you know, being around some of these players as far as their basketball IQ. It's so much higher than we realize as far as them understanding other players' tendencies. And, you know, you always hear in the NBA, oh, they don't play defense. Tyrese Halliburton, I bet you, if we listened in to what he had to say, he probably knew, like, okay, if I get Giannis on me, he's going to go all out if I look like I'm going to shoot the three. Right? Like, he probably had that in his mind. And we all know Tyrese Halliburton has that slow windup. So yeah, for Giannis, you true. Can wait till he picks the ball up. Right? Yeah. He's not like a quick-release Steph Curry type. And Halliburton uses basketball IQ to take advantage of an over-aggressive defender. And we've seen Giannis hurt his hand being over-aggressive on defense. Like, that's kind of, I mean, if you're going to knock someone who is an all-time great, you know, over-aggressive on defense is kind of like a thing you can expect from him if you're someone who has the ball in their hands.
You mentioned Giannis, 30, 20, and 13, along with two blocks and two steals. He had seven turnovers. He also missed a bunch of free throws, which were hurtful. But so for those that weren't watching last night, after Indiana pulls off this miracle comeback to end the series and advance to the second round, Milwaukee's done. After the game, Tyrese Halliburton's father, John, confronted Giannis, apparently cussing him out on the floor. You can kind of get into, you know, what the confrontation was, whether or not he should be there. But, you know, Giannis, per usual, had a very thoughtful response afterwards and said that was uncalled for. You know, loves Tyrese Halliburton as a player, et cetera. So just give everybody who did not watch what, you know, took place when this game ended, kind of a you know, quick, you know, what happened and then your thoughts on it.
Well, so there's a number of things because we did hear Giannis's perspective as opposed to what we see as viewers. First and foremost, the game ends. It's a heave by Gary Trent Jr., right? Giannis inbounded the ball and was behind the play. And you kind of see him soaking it all in, right? Like he's standing there like, man, we really just lost in the first round for third straight year. Well, Tyrese Halliburton's dad is sitting behind the basket from where Giannis inbounded the ball. He jumps up. He had obviously has on a Tyrese Halliburton jersey. He has a big poster, a big towel with his son's face on it. And this is where it goes awry because the ball's in the air and it drops. And Giannis is kind of like, wow, right? And you see Tyrese Halliburton's dad walk directly in front of Giannis. And Giannis stops moving. And he puts the towel up. And according to Giannis, Tyrese Halliburton's dad was cursing at him, right? Like, that's who, F word, S word, right? Like, this is what Giannis says happened. So we understand this to be true because Tyrese Halliburton has said that that's what happened, and Tyrese Halliburton's dad said the same thing. Now, talking to several people, which I did have the privilege last night, right? I watched it myself, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, where's security? Like, security is not supposed to let fans on the court immediately, even if it's someone's dad. And it's interesting to hear the different perspectives, right? Because I sat next to Vince Carter. I showed him the video for the first time. And he's like, what is this? What is going on here? Like, no parent or brother is supposed to get on the court and do that, right? Then Giannis laments about his upbringing and how you should be humble in your winning, which I thought is what we need to hear from NBA stars, right? Like, that's what you need to hear. But then from a complete different perspective, I walk back and I think the Clippers-Nuggets game was still on. And, you know, we were done talking about the Bucks-Pacers. And I go to talk to Chuck, Kenny, and Shaq about it, right? Because we were sitting there watching
Shaq,
the game.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard the clip. So Shaq like, beckons me over. So I guess that they must have discussed this on the show. I have not seen the clip that you're referencing right now, right? And he's like, Chris, you know, like, he's got to have thicker skin than that. And I'm like, no, you can't have fans on the court. And then Shaq's like, look, man, I heard worse things when I was playing at LSU. Like, these things, you know, my parents taught me that you just kind of, like, have to be the bigger man. And I'm like, Shaq, Giannis didn't move. He looked at Tyrese Halliburton's dad. He's like, well, look what he did after. He grabbed Ben Mathurin's head And he did. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Giannis probably shouldn't be talking to this man's dad in that way. And he's like, and Shaq is explaining, you've never seen me act like that. And it's interesting to hear his perspective, right? Of basically saying you can't double down the wrong, and that Giannis is wrong for escalating this situation. And I hadn't thought of it like that. And I'm like, man, like, it's incredible to hear one of the greatest players of all time give his perspective, and to not be on, because in my mind, I'm thinking Shaq's all like, yeah, Giannis, good stuff. And Shaq's like, nope, you can't do that. Like, you're big, you're strong. You have to, you know, go about your business, take it for what it is, and move on with your life and go, you know, discuss it in the press conference. But what he was saying is Giannis was out of pocket for all of the extra stuff. And it kind of changed my perspective. And I thought it was, like, phenomenal to have that privilege to hear that. Now, what he said on the show, I don't know if that's what he said. But
yeah.
It was interesting to hear from him.
Yeah. So hold on, Max, you have the Shaq comment on this? Because I was watching it when he said it. Do you have that?
Yeah, sure do.
How long is it?
A minute 20.
All right. Go ahead, play it, and Chris can listen to it.
He's not supposed to be on the court.
Giannis talked to him. Forget all that.
No, he was on the court.
So what?
You think he said something? He probably know who his dad is.
Stop it. Giannis said something.
No, because he's on the court in his face.
So what? Everybody on the court can't do that. Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot do that.
Giannis said something to him.
So you think his dad was crazy?
No, his dad was 100% wrong.
Giannis is wrong?
Bro, Giannis said something to him.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he not.
Look, right now.
No, his Giannis dad is coming up to him. What Giannis is his dad doing on the court?
Giannis
his dad is not supposed to be on the court.
His dad is
you
on
can
the
yell
court
as much you want
game.
To. He's an idiot. If you think that's right, you're an idiot too.
Giannis says something.
No, that's not true. I'm just telling you. That dad is an idiot. And if you think he's an idiot, you're an idiot too.
I will say that
his dad is always on the court.
No, I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always on the court.
No, he should be on the court. You don't have an entitlement because your son is playing
to be
on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's always on the court.
He should be on the court. I don't care.
He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Bro, Giannis said something to him. He didn't say nothing to Giannis. No, he did not.
No, that's not true.
He couldn't have said anything.
Walking in line behind his son.
He should. What do you mean walking in line behind his son? He shouldn't be on the court. He didn't play in the game.
Always on the court.
No, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be
on the court.
No,
there's no entitlement.
He's always on the court.
So let me just mention, there was more to that where Shaq kind of expressed what he expressed to you, Chris, because I want to say that I had the exact same reaction you did. Watching it, I'm like, what is his father doing on the floor? Listening to Giannis, I'm like, wow, what a response. Because Giannis is thoughtful, he's self-aware, all of those things. And then when listening to Shaq, I'm like, you know what? The best reaction from Giannis would have been, we lost, congratulations to them, and let everybody else fight that battle. Because those players do deal with a lot more than that. The father shouldn't have been on the floor. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think I ended up having the same reaction you did after listening to Shaq last night, which is they deal with a lot, and I know Giannis was emotional, and he's sharing his thoughts, you know, almost stream of conscious, you know, in that moment, but it's like, let everybody else fight that and ensure that the father never is on the floor again in that situation. By the way, for those that, again, haven't followed this, the father apologized on social media. The son, Tyrese Haliburton, apologized on behalf of his father, etc. But anyway, that was the situation last night. They're not going to kick him out of games moving forward, do you think?
No. And the other thing is, there's a code of conduct in the sense of having an even. It's interesting listening to that clip from the show because they're yelling over each other.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
On the show. And it's crazy because we sit in there together for hours. So I truly get to understand what they're trying to say. And all of them have good points, and none of them really got it across in that clip you played.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like, Chuck is right. Like, hey, this guy's always on the court, right? But Shaq is wrong in the sense of Tyrese Haliburton's dad not saying anything. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's dad cursed at Giannis. Giannis is standing there not reacting, and then he's like, hold on. You guys, this is too much. Like, what are you doing here? And then he says, like, you know, my dad's not with me anymore. He wouldn't do this. I was not brought up this way. So you can see the anger. The other part that needs to be understood is when you play the clip of Giannis talking about the incident is right after he was asked, are you leaving Milwaukee? Right? And the fact that he was noncommittal, the fact that at the trade deadline, had privilege to understand that, like, he's probably gone, and that they asked him that first, and he's sitting there like, is this really happening? Like, think about how incredible he played in this series, in this game, and to think, like, this might be his last game in a Bucks uniform.
Yeah, I know.
A guy is arguably the first or second best player in franchise history.
We're talking to Chris Miles. Would you say the first is Lou Alcindor before he became Kareem?
Yeah, those are the two names, right? It's one of those two, right. And really, Giannis has done more with the franchise, but I don't know if, it's like Oscar Robertson, it's like Lou Alcindor, Giannis, Oscar Robertson, whatever you want to do with that, but I would say, that's the comment.
Yeah, after that, I don't know, Sidney Moncrief, I don't know, we could go down the list.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
All right, let's move on because, let's move on to that. So I am curious, what are the teams that people are talking about for Giannis?
So here's what I would say, and this is where it gets difficult for me in confidential information and things I can and cannot say, right? And I will say this. I know the Miami Heat have been a suitor. I don't know how much has been reported, but I would imagine that would be his priority destination and mutual interest, and I think they have been aligning themselves to make that happen. That is the first part. Second part is if Giannis is on the open market, like if this is a Luka Doncic deal, which like, oh, here, you're gone, right? Like, okay, Miami's it. That's where he wants to go. That's what it's going to be, right? But I think on the flip side of that, if it's an open market, then we have to have more logical conversations. Like the San Antonio Spurs have the assets, the cap to absorb for Milwaukee and their ownership to like save money and also rebuild. You got two, once the draft lottery hits on May 12th, you got two potential high lottery picks coming in for San Antonio to go along with all of these assets of guys that like they got too many guys and not enough stars, right? It's like Victor Wembanyama, De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle would be the three guys that they're not going to move. Then everything else Milwaukee could be interested in. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces. So I do wonder if that becomes a pairing, like Giannis and San Antonio, how incredible that would be for Giannis, for the NBA, and really changing the landscape of things. And then the Houston Rockets, I mean, they have a ton of assets that really don't fit. Yeah. And now the narrative with them is they need a bona fide star, and Ime Udoka is the Giannis type of coach. Like, these are things that I think those are the logical destinations when you look at assets and, Giannis and fitting. But I do think he played his last game as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I kind of assumed that at the trade deadline. I was like, okay, well, if the Bucks make a long run, maybe that's not the case. Going out in the first round three consecutive years, playing the way that he's playing, I think this is the summer he needs.
We're talking to Chris Miles from NBA TV. I'm going to save my wild thought about if the Wizards end up with a poor draft lottery selection and they're not in the Cooper flag or the Dylan Harper sweepstakes, about just, scratching the plan right now and bringing in Durant and Giannis and just going for it next year. We can talk about that down the road. All right. The NBA has been phenomenal here over the last couple of days. I want to go to late last night and what Denver did to the Clippers, after the incredible ending on Saturday. They're up 3-2. This is the team that I've actually got a rooting interest in. I'm just a huge Kawhi Leonard guy and have been forever. James Harden's been terrible so far in this series. He was terrible again last night, defensively, offensively. Why is it that Harden this time of year, especially when a series gets late in a series, there have been some moments in his career, but his playoff legacy is not a good one, and I don't think he's adding to it right now. What do you think?
I think it's a different style of basketball in the postseason. And as talented as he is, you know, Kawhi Leonard is built for the playoffs. Giannis is built for the playoffs. Joker, Jamal Murray, if you look at their games, they trim that. There's no fat on their games. James Harden's game is like a juicy steak, you know? But if you're trying to lean up, it's just not the right fit for the playoffs, the way that you have to play basketball. And I think we see that a lot with players who can put up regular season numbers. And, I mean, I think James Harden is a first ballot Hall of Famer, phenomenal basketball player. But when you watch him, it's like, all right, how many dribbles is it going to take right now?
How long
is he going to have possession of the ball? Like these, I mean, you know, and that's a regular season game. And I think, look, the last 3 years, the NBA has changed so much that a guy like Donovan Mitchell has adjusted. He used to dribble way more. I'm sure there's an advanced stat on that where even in the regular season this year, that was taken out of the game a bit, and James Harden has dialed it back. But in the playoffs, everyone is dialed in. The teams you're facing, everyone can play defense and are hustling as hard as they can. And that's what it is. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah.
I think this is the caliber player he is when we get to this. Like, he's really, really good. But I think playoff James Harden, when I look at the all-time greats, is how I view him.
Look, I'm going to compare him to a player who was in the finals last year. And this player is younger and is going to be considered one of the all-time great scorers and shot makers. But there were 14 possessions in the game on Sunday in Minnesota where the only player on Los Angeles's team that touched the ball from the moment it was inbounded in the backcourt was Luka Doncic. And sometimes it's the same thing with Harden. The ball just sticks, and this time of year it's tough. Even when they make tough shots or make really good plays, I just don't think it's sustainable 4 out of 7 in 4 straight series.
Well, I mean, people thought I was an insane person because, look, if there's a team in which I have a lot of contacts, it's the Dallas Mavericks. And you can go look it up or, you know, Google search it and see my interviews with Luka.
I trust you.
But it's like one of those things where, I'll tell you this, when they made that run to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, we went down to Dallas for a real training camp, right? So it's like the preseason and, you know, we're basically doing a glorified practice is what we do as a show, right? And we highlight the players. And there was this air of, we are tired of him. That was it, right? Of like, and not from players and coaches, from people who work on the staff. And what I mean is like when you walk into the practice facility, there's a 60-year-old guy that's like, oh, everybody hates this guy. And they're like, wait, all these people that have worked here for 20, 25 years hate Luka Doncic, who is like the guy bringing all the money in. So when I started to hear that and understand that, and I watched him complain to the refs and turn the ball over, and then being, you know, covering the finals last year, game 3, I'll take you behind the curtain a bit. The game ends, and, you know, I always hear terrible stuff about Kyrie Irving as, like, his personality, right? And I'm trying to explain to people that, you know, they lost game 3. Kyrie had his best game of the series after 2 bad games, and it's like finals is over. You're down 3-0, right? And I see Luka, and I'm like, oh, let me give Luka his space. He's going with his people. And I kind of notice Luka's not talking to his teammates, right? He's just off, getting in his car, gone. No problem with that at all. But then I see Kyrie with his kids and his wife, right? He's walking over and he's with 2 or 3 teammates. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like Kyrie's with a group of teammates and they're talking about what just happened, right? And I see him and I'm like, I should not disturb him right now. He interrupts his own path. He comes over. Hey, Chris. I'm like, oh, hey, Kyrie. He's like, I'm like, tough one. He's like, yeah, you know, hopefully we can get the next one. And he has this like positive, upbeat personality, and he's bringing it to his teammates. And for me, when I think of the Luka Doncic experience, and I watch him yell at Dorian Finney-Smith at half court after he turns the ball over,
right?
And anyone that's ever played basketball, if you've coached an eighth grader, you say don't put the ball where the any line or the out of bounds can become a defender and then call for a pick. Right. Like, what are you doing, right? And then he yells at Dorian Finney-Smith, who's not the greatest screen setter. He's a 3-and-D guy. So I just think, you know, the Lakers are going to build around Luka. It's going to take a year or two, but you can't have Luka and LeBron when you got a maniac like Anthony Edwards out there who wants to take your crown.
Yeah, interesting stuff on Luka Doncic with Chris Miles. All right, I've taken up too much of your time, but just let's go real quickly. Houston, Golden State, what an incredible first four games. As physical as any of the series been that have been played, do you give Houston any chance of coming back?
No, I think, you know, I had Houston winning that series, right? But no, they can't come back for this reason alone. Experience. You got three guys who are feeling like it's their last dance, and Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Jimmy Butler, right? Like, I know they have contracts that extend past this year, but if you look at how they're playing, this in their mind is their last dance. And when I listened to what Jalen Green had to say after he scored his 38 points in game two, right?
Yeah, the only
it game was this like
for him.
But there's a reason. He goes, yes, I had the jitters. Yes, there was nervousness in that first home game. Then he felt comfortable, a second playoff home game. Then they hit the road, and it's back to, what's going on here? And I think that that's permeating throughout the team. Rin Shingun, yes, he's playing well, but there's still a sense of, like, okay, feeling it out. Amen Thompson, does it look like how good that he is? I think that this is the, okay, we made the playoffs here. This is what it feels like. So we're going to go back to the lab. We're going to tweak the roster a little bit. And then next year, watch out for us. That's just what I feel on Houston now that we saw them. I mean, you never know how these players are going to react in their first playoff game. But now that we've seen it, it's like, okay, they're done. They're not going to beat Steph Curry unless Steph Curry is hurt early in, you know, the closeout game. But, like, that's what it is. The Warriors are going to move on past the Rockets, even though I did have the Rockets beating Golden State.
You know, it's funny, Chris, watching that series. Like, I've watched all four games, and I'm like, man, Houston is actually in many ways the team that's more dangerous and even better. But it's just that Steph didn't let them lose game three when Butler wasn't there. Jimmy didn't let them lose game four when it hung in the balance. And I just think you're right on the experience. What'll be really interesting is a Golden State-Minnesota series, because I think we're going to get that. I'm assuming you think Minnesota will close out the Lakers at some point, even if it's not tonight.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Yes. I mean, look, I think people are starting to get it. But Anthony Edwards' conditioning and his work ethic, I mean, people don't really understand. And, you know, I get all the – people hear the off-the-court stuff and be like, oh, it's Ja Morant again. No. Ja Morant drinks alcohol. We've seen him with the tequila shots. Anthony Edwards doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't do – like, I don't think people understand that when he says he doesn't want to be the face of the league. Like, we had that interview with him at All-Star.
Yeah.
And that had already come out. And we asked, I can send you the clip. I asked him it four times in the interview. He's like, no, I want to play basketball. Like, I don't want to do these other. And that's because, like, he really wants to go to the gym, watch basketball, talk about football, talk about basketball, and all of these other things in his brain, they're a distraction. Oh, you guys want me to be the face of the league so that you can, you know, take me away from basketball. But that's how his brain operates. So I think some of the things that he said has been, like, almost taken the wrong way. But if you really listen to what he's saying, you kind of realize, like, this is a 23-year-old kid that really wants to play basketball and is not as caught up in the lifestyle as some of his peers and predecessors, as we think, because of, you know, the other breaking news.
All right, I got to run. I took you too much of your time, and I'm way past my break. I could sit here and do this with you for another hour, though. But just give me, real quickly, finals matchup, who wins?
Ah, man, I have no idea, right? And I do
mean that. It's going to be Boston, isn't it?
All season. No, I don't know that
for
certain. You
like Cleveland?
I don't. I'm saying, like, I watched Cleveland, and I'm like, man, they punched Miami in the mouth and took their willpower where Miami's like, why are we here now, right? And when I look at the depth of both rosters, like, here's what the players tell me, and this is what's important. Cleveland's backcourt is still too small, and the series against Boston that's going to be the determining factor. And I'm like, okay. But Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, if they play that way, then, I mean, Mobley looked, that one game that Cleveland beat Boston last year in the playoffs, Mobley was incredible. And he has that, like, in his mind, like, if I play this way, we win. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be, I'm just excited for that series. They're going to face OKC, though. Like, OKC's coming out.
All right. Let's see if they've got the experience to match up with the Warriors when they get there. I'd like to see that. Although I think the next series will be tough for OKC, too. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, as always. Good stuff.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Yep.
Chris Miles, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. When we come back, I'll tell you something that I forgot to say during the Shedeur Sanders situation that I think is beneficial for him. Next.